We don't want to leave you in suspense for the main event that's happening. We won't be reading out the Bible verses, but there's a few references up there if you would like them. So, Georgia, what comes first, the chicken or the egg?
I am a firm believer in the chicken because God did not create eggs, he created animals.
Wonderful. Which is beautiful. But in all seriousness, what comes first, baptism or salvation?
Well, in my experience, I think everyone's experience, I think salvation would definitely be coming first. And salvation involves us receiving Jesus into our heart, and that's often a very intimate connection, and knowing him within ourselves. And then after that will come baptism, which is the public expression of the truth and life that we've received through salvation.
Wonderful. The Greek word baptizo means to immerse, submerge, or to overwhelm. And today we'll see these folks being submerged in water. So tell us, what does it mean, other than the literal submersion, what does it mean to be baptized?
It is the public declaration of what you've already decided in your heart. And you can sort of go deep into the nitty-gritty of what God has said in the Bible, as some of these verses and all that, but I think it's just so beautiful in its simplicity of baptism, of going under and then coming back up. And I think that's an amazing way that God speaks to us. It's just like, it's comprehensible, it's logical, it makes sense. And then you get to receive new life in the Holy Spirit and live your best life with Jesus, basically. And for me, it was very much a journey, and the first stage of that journey of trusting God, and through that, trusting him in baptism, now I can trust him in lots of other areas of my life.
Wonderful. And so that being submerged, it's like publicly and visibly washing away the sins, like we see in the Acts verse up there. Tell us a little bit more, Georgia, about why you decided to get baptized, because your experience is a bit fresher than mine.
I got baptized, I'm going to say, like 3 or 4 years ago, and by the amazing Seven Ruby. And I decided that because, I love Jesus and I wanted to know more of him and I wanted him in my life. That just seemed like the most natural, logical way to do it. And through that, I've learned so much about God, and I don't know if I can recommend baptism, but it was totally life-changing.
Wonderful. Thanks, Georgia. And tell us, what do you think the significance of being baptized in front of people, whether it's a small gathering or a big gathering of people like we have here today?
I think for me the key aspect is the closeness with God and experiencing that closeness in a new way. Like when Jesus was baptized by John, the dove from heaven literally landed on his shoulder, and how much closer can you get to God than that? And I love that promise of that God will actually come to us, and that's the significance of receiving God in you, first through salvation, but then through baptism. And the connection just gets better, it just gets deeper and deeper as you trust God and as you learn more about him throughout the rest of your Christian journey. So, I don't know, I'm really just chuffed to see all these guys here, because this is the beginning, you know? It's the new life, and I just know that God will bless you guys with so much.
Absolutely. And it's showing obedience too, isn't it, to what Jesus has called us to do. So, and that's what you were drawing out and what you're saying, that call to go deeper into that intimate relationship with him is stepping in obedience into what he's calling us into for him. Baptism is a symbolic ritual, right? We have the literal being submersion, but it's got significant meanings. As a believer enters into the water and is fully submerged during baptism, it identifies them with Christ's death on the cross, his burial in the tomb, and then the exciting part of when they emerge. I hesitated too long. You won't be submerged for that long. So going under the water, signifying the death and the burial, and then re-emerge is the exciting part of Jesus' resurrection. Or as Grace Lee aptly put it last week, so excitedly, he's alive! Another significant symbol is of being baptized is the wedding ring, an outward symbol of the inward commitment that you've made in your heart. And there's more significance there too, but what sort of symbolism has captured your heart, Georgia, and the whole ritual and tradition of being baptised?
Yeah, I think I would say like the wedding of the union of Christ and his bride, and that we're not just invited to be at the wedding like a guest or someone that gets a piece of cake, but we're actually invited to be the centrepiece of the bride and as Christ is the groom or the bridegroom. And baptism is being a symbol of that matrimonial commitment, and one that lasts and one that doesn't fade and go away, but it's potent and it's present for the rest of our lives.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing your insight with us, Georgia. But I'll just keep you up here just to help me with one more thing. As you can see, we've got a wee bit of a science experiment going on up here, which the kids will know well because I love it so much. I've already used it a couple of times, so you guys get to have the joy of it too. We've all sinned, right? And as much as we try to be perfect, we are not. And it's sin that separates us from God. It's like having a perfect, pure, white T-shirt and needing the barrier, especially me, for if you had red wine or spag bol, because you don't want to get anything onto that pure white shirt. So God being a white shirt and us who have sin being the spag bol, the two don't mix. We make choices, so we've got something here to represent choices. And into this one here, yeah, perfect. We tell lies, we spread gossip, we have greedy moments, we get jealous. These are all choices that are separating us from God. And then Jesus, our great rescuer, came along and he showed us what it is like to live in a relationship with God. And as he died on the cross, he was buried and then resurrected so that he could remove the sin from us, so that we could get near to God, to take away that spag bol sauce, just as he designed us to be, close to him. When we accept Jesus as our Saviour and ask for forgiveness for our sins, we've got a lovely jar here representing Jesus. Voila. He's washed our sins away. We're made new. As our friends here get dunked or submerged, or any wonderful word that you want to say, baptized, they're proclaiming to all of us that this is what has happened in their lives, that they've accepted Jesus into their lives, as Georgia was saying before, salvation first, and that their identity is in Jesus. So, it's such a tremendous occasion, and we're so honoured to be a part of it. And we're really excited to stand here with all of you guys, wherever you all are, who are being baptised. And for those of you, families and friends that have come to support them, we welcome you here with us. We know that some of you may have questions about what's going on. So please find someone who can answer the questions for you. And if there's not someone around you, then the leadership team would be very happy to answer any questions that you have about baptism as well. So without further ado from us, Steve, let's get the show on the road.
Johnny and Robert, if you could come and grab your roving mics, please. Okay, as I said before, guys, we have six baptisms, so simple logistics. There are cards and paper down the back if you want to write a note. I'm going to ask the person being baptised two questions. I'll get into the pool. I'm going to invite you down to come down. Please come down if you're family and friends or you just want to come down for a look. There will be a mic to actually speak through, and I'll make sure I coordinate that as well. If the person is talking too long, I'll do a big throat clear. They'll get the message pretty quickly. We'll keep the show on the road. So, Aaron, you're first up, mate. All right, we might stand in the light. Okay, your first question, if you are ready. Why did you become a follower of Jesus, and when did that happen?
Thank you. So it happened when I was around 5 years old. I was lying in bed with my mother. My mother was telling me a story. And then I asked her, what happens after you die? Will I still be able to talk to you? Then my mother said, I'll be in heaven. But I still didn't know what heaven was. So I asked her more questions. So my mother introduced me to the Bible and Jesus. And after that day, I started praying every night and reading the Bible.
Cool answer. Okay. Let's back it up. Why do you want to get baptized?
A few weeks ago, I was reading my mother's to-do list, which I should probably not be doing, by the way. But I read the things that she wanted to do, go to the pool on Saturday, and then I read, talk to Aaron about baptism. So I questioned to myself, what's baptism again? And then I remembered it was getting your head dunked or submerged into water. So I thought to myself, after weeks and weeks, I decided that, yes, I want to get baptized. So I asked my mother, and she asked me a few questions, and eventually, yeah, I could, and that's why I'm here.
Awesome, mate. In you go. Okay, so just those of you who don't know, so Pastor Paul Edlin is the man that you can see his back, and Don Ben is there as well. So if you are family and friends, please come down to the front and be around the pool, and I'm going to hand the mic to...
Don. Aaron, do you confess the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Saviour?
Yes.
Well, it gives us great pleasure now to baptise you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
How great the chasm that lay between us, how high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. And hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living
hope. Hi Aaron, it's Tina Coates. I'm so really rapt to see you get baptized today. And I've known you since you were probably 5 or 6 when you came along here to Sunday school. And it's just an awesome, awesome day for you. And thank you for following God and giving your life to Him. And He will bless you for the end of your days. And then you'll be in heaven. Yeah. Amen.
Hi Aaron, my name is Robin Holland, and I remember when you were a little boy coming to church here, and you told me that your name was Aaron Bob, and because you loved Bob the Builder. And now you have grown into a young man, and with your mother's love and teaching and encouragement, you love Jesus, and today you've decided to be baptized. So the Lord's given me some... 1 of verse 3, He is like a tree planted by streams of living water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. As you've been planted beside the stream of living water, and you will grow in knowledge, as you grow in knowledge and your heart-to-heart relationship with God, your roots will grow deeper and you'll be firmly rooted beside the stream and grow in wisdom and stature, become like a mighty oak tree standing strong among your generation.
Hi Aaron, fabulous to see you getting baptised today. I've just got a scripture that I want to bless you with. It's Psalm 139, verse 5. God says... It says, you've gone into my future to prepare the way, and in kindness you follow behind me to spare me from the harm of my past. With your hand of love upon me, you impart a blessing to me. That's God's blessing for you today.
Aaron, Robert Holland, we have seen you as a little boy here at Icons and occasionally in more recent years. But your mother has known you since you were conceived, and your father God much time before that. Your mother, I imagine, will be very proud of you and full of her love for you, just as your father God is of you now, for your choice to believe and dedicate your life to him. He will always stand beside you through good times and bad, because life will bring these, but he gives hope in all of life's situations. Praise him in all these situations. Stay close to him so you stay on the road he will like you to travel. Try not to stray into the potholes to the side or the dead-end tracks. The verse that appears to be appropriate for this is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not evil, to give you a future and a hope.
So, Aaron, it's my privilege to see your growth in knowing God and in your journey in Jesus. So I want to say that your effort to memorize the Bible verses and the books you created about God are delights in God's eyes. So I remember the time that we were flying drone in the school ground, and the drone dropped to the ground. We couldn't find it. And you quoted the Bible verses to assure us we will find it. And you said, ask, it will be given to you. Seek, you will find. And we found it. So, and you prayed as well. So I would say the power of prayer, your daily prayer to God, is powerful, and I hope today when the Holy Spirit comes to you, you know, that continue to guide you until your death. Thank you.
Thank you, Aaron. Well done. We do now have a switch in the pool. Our youth pastor, Seb Norman, is going to take over from Don. And Oliver Coates, you are next up. Tall young man that you are, you can stand that side of me. Okay, I have two questions for you, Oliver. The first one being, why did you become a follower of Jesus, and when did that happen?
Well, it was maybe a year and a half ago on a really cold winter's night. I know people say, you know, God will find you in the strangest of places. And for me, it was in a really dirty, horrible postal sorting facility out by the airport. And it was in amongst kind of a scene of just tremendous ugliness, not kind of ugliness that kind of jumped out at me, but just of a monotony, a kind of a grayness and a monotony, which I think so many people, especially of my generation, feel in this world. And jumping out at me was the scene of such amazing beauty as I turned my head. And that caused a sudden change in me, which I didn't realize at the time, but caused me to begin asking questions and coming to some realizations. I realized I wasn't quite as good or as intelligent as I thought I was. I realized I wasn't any more enlightened or intelligent than, you know, all the people who came before me. I realized that, you know, this 2,000-year-long tradition, which, you know, our forefathers fought and died for, couldn't quite be so easily discarded. And all of these realizations built upon each other until I finally came to the realization that someone was calling me, and his name was Jesus Christ.
Why are you being baptized?
I'm simply being baptized today because I want to answer the calling of my Lord Jesus Christ, and that despite my sin and failures and weakness, he's given me the opportunity to serve him and to serve God, which I can't think of anything greater.
Well done, Oliver. Guys, please come down to the pool if you want to have a word afterwards. I encourage you to do that now.
Oliver, do you confess the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour?
I do.
Well, it is our pleasure to baptise you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
God has gifted you with an incredible mind, despite what you say. You're inquiring and you have this capacity to store huge amounts of knowledge. What I was going to say was you also have this other gift, which is public speaking. You can speak in public with such great confidence. And also you have a passion to seek the truth. This is you. You just want to know the truth, which is God's truth, always God's truth. This might sometimes get you into trouble. When it comes to the knowledge, you know, that you have, you're drawn to the human condition, all the problems around human being a human being. You know so much about culture, politics, all the things, religion, history, all the things that bind human beings together in culture, in their culture and society. Mum and I would say that as you go forward in life, it's important that, you know, you're sensitive to other people so that you know when you might be treading on dangerous ground. And we have a couple of scriptures for you, one from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament. So maybe Mum might want to read the one from the Old Testament. Oh, you don't. I'll do it for you. I've got my glasses, don't worry. So from Psalm 37, 5-6, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. And then from the New Testament, Paul is giving words of encouragement in his letter to the people of Philippi. So Philippians 4:4-7, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guide your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So, Oliver, Mum and I are always there for you, and so will God be. May he bless you all your life, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oliver, it's filled Andrews and my heart with great delight to see the journey that you've been on. Excuse me. But how much more it delights the heart of God our Father. And he wants to give you today Psalm 16. I won't read the whole psalm because it's a bit long, and Steve will tell me off. But in verse 2, David says, I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. And such assurance that David spoke with. And it is the same as the confession that you have. Apart from the Lord, you have no good thing. And in verses 7 and 8, I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. God bless you.
Hi, Oliver. What a great decision that you've made today. And I've known you since you're a wee fella and had a lot of input into your life, and I've seen the way that you've grown. I've also seen the way that how you've got an encouraging heart and how that you also have been a good mentor to your younger brother, Henry, and how that you've encouraged him and you've had great words of wisdom coming through, and you've been mature beyond your years. And it's an absolute delight to see. And you have intelligence that surpasses a lot of young people, and it's a real credit to how that you've taken on board things, and you've and I see how you dissect things in your mind, but you also look at the whole things across the board before making decisions, and they're not random. They're always informed decisions because of your research and what you do. And God has put a couple of words upon my heart for you. And one is Romans 12:2, which says, and be not conformed to this world, and be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that sums it up for you. And also, one that's quite often used, but I felt the Lord wanted me to share that, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, which says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not on your own understanding, but acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your paths. Bless you, Oliver. And I'm really, really proud to know you and see you as you grow up and the young man that you've turned out to be. Amen.
Amen.
So young, Oliver. Hebrews 1:9 says this, you have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you, Oliver, above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. And the writer of Hebrews was actually talking about Jesus, King Jesus, in that particular reference. The word companions in that scripture were all of Jesus' companions. So, they were included in that promise. There's something about you, Oliver, that, and you've got to watch that this doesn't go to the left side of your brain only. There's something about you that God will set you above your companions. There's something about you in terms of your heart, your certainty about things, your confidence about what you believe, that sets you apart from your peers. And that has both a positive side and a negative side. And you've got to navigate your way through that. But if you keep your eyes on God, always relating whatever the issue is to His word, you'll be fine. The other thing that that says to me is young people are going to look at you and they're going to see your example and they're going to follow your example. And so, Father, I just pray that this young man will lead by example all the days of his life, according to your word, according to your ways, according to the call on his life. That God, you'll guide him through the ups and downs that are surely there, but you'll guide him, Lord, by righteousness and in righteousness. In Jesus' name.
Oliver, it's interesting, I got this word for you about 3 weeks ago, and it just shows you how it ties in with what's been spoken. It's just very short. You are a tall man of some intelligence. Stand tall physically to ensure you command the situation. You speak with authority, ensure it is God's authority. Read His word, know His word, follow His word intimately. But when you speak His word, do not recite His word, for you will gain greater respect and understanding from others when you speak from your heart what your Father God has taught you. You have been given God's gift. Use it wisely and with discernment.
Thank you, Oliver. There's a fine for water, mate, on the carpet. Okay, Leah Reeves is going to join me. Hello, Leah, how are you? All right, I have two questions for you. First one is, why did you become a follower of Jesus, and when did that happen?
So since I was a little girl, I always believed that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. But my eyes were truly opened when I witnessed the glory of His work. About 3 years ago, the day before my birthday, my husband called an ambulance for me, and I got woken by the doctors telling me that it was 8 days later. I don't know. I'm still trying to figure out why the Lord blessed me with a second chance, but I'm trying every day to figure that out and be worthy of His blessings.
Why are you being baptized?
So I'm being baptized today because I want to make that commitment to my Lord and Savior, and I want to be ready and waiting with a full lantern when He finally returns. So, thank you.
Awesome. Then you get.
Yeah, so you just, you don't you jump in though, you just wait right there. Leah, do you declare Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour?
Absolutely, I do.
Then it is our pleasure to baptize you now in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Mercy never fails me, and all my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Leah, so excited for you. Congratulations for today. I just had a picture of you, like when you're driving in a car in like really heavy fog and you're just trying any light switch on your car to get better visibility so you can move forward a little bit faster, and you're just sort of finding it really frustrating and inching forward and just feeling like lost in this dense fog. And I just feel like today, and as well as your journey that you've been on, that you're just with Jesus, he's illuminating your path. And it just links to Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. And so I just really want to encourage you to, in your hunger for learning God's word and knowing Jesus more intimate, that just to keep on that journey, because your path, it will just keep getting illuminated and you'll get stronger traction on where you're going. Bless you.
Leah, from the first moment that you entered those doors and I greeted you, and I just learnt from you, your just love for the Lord Jesus, your enthusiasm to be at church and, you know, to bring your little boy in time, which you did. And I just thank you that you did that, you made that step. But the most amazing thing is, yeah, you accepted Jesus Christ, and now today we're witnessing your baptism. So may the Holy Spirit always dwell in you and bless you. And yeah, you are definitely the daughter of the Lord God. Thanks.
Yeah, Leah, Pastor Tara mentioned Psalms 95, and it's verse 105. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Here's the word of the Lord for you. God is not interested in your past. The word of God lights the lamp unto your feet for your future, not your past. Your past is cut off. It is done. The deal's done. When you got up out of those waters, all of that stuff is in the bottom of the pool. And at the end of the service, we'll pull the plug and let it go down to wherever. His word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path, the path you're walking into, not the one you've come out of.
Anybody else? He's desperate to give her the towel, so let's let him do that, eh? Where you go, mate? You can give her the towel now. What's your name?
Kane.
Cool name. I see you up the front a lot. I think I'm going to see you a lot more, aren't I? With your black jacket on, eh? Mafia boy. Okay, we now have Jane Huntley coming up to be baptised. So Jane is a little bit special for my wife and I, Kay, because she is going to deliver our first grandchild this year. So don't drown her. Yeah. Look after this one. All right, Jane. Two questions for you. The first one is, why did you become a follower of Jesus, and when did that happen?
I became a follower of Jesus about 3 years ago, but that sort of path has probably been happening over about the last 20 or so years, and he's been there in the background, and he's been waiting and biding his time before he's managed to sort of bring me into the love of his loving embrace. And that happened because my lovely son James, who you know, and Katie, who is part of the worship team, they got married. And then Katie's mum, Marie Tomsett, she said to me, Jane, would you like to come to church? Would you like to come and see and listen to Katie sing and all of those things? And I said, oh yeah, of course I will. That would be great. And then I came, and it's such wonderful peace. And you kind of, you think, oh,
wow, I want some more of that. I really want to kind of understand and kind of tread that path. And I think it came at a point where life was quite difficult for me, and I was thinking, I don't know how I'm going to move forward, how I'm going to get through that. So, and there he was, and he said, come talk to me. Talk to me and I will take care of you and I will be gracious and kind and loving and give you strength in times of trouble. And he's done exactly that. And so now I just wanted to publicly acknowledge my love for Jesus Christ and to say thank you. Thank you for being there. Thank you for listening to me every single morning as I drive to work and kind of ask him for patience and strength to get through the day with whatever it might bring. So I just wanted to do that with all of the people here and with the people that I love and care about.
You sound like someone that should be on the morning tea roster. Why do you want to get baptized?
I want to get baptized because I love Jesus, and I, as Leah so beautifully put it, I want to be ready. I want to be ready when it comes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Jane, do you confess the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Saviour?
I do.
Well, then it is our pleasure and privilege to baptise you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Call me out upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand. And I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. I am yours, and you are mine.
Jane, I just have Psalms 37. Trust in the Lord and do good, and you will live safely in his land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit everything you do to the Lord and trust him, and he will help you.
Jane, I've been praying all week and thinking, what does the Lord want me to say? And he gave me nothing until this morning. And I don't believe in coincidences, but I've been reading the Old Testament, and I've just got to the place where they entered the Promised Land. And I know for you, the last few months, there's been a lot of pain and a lot of heartache. And you've stayed firm with God, and you've questioned, and you've cried. And you're leaving that place. You're entering the promised land, flowing with milk and honey. And it's all the gifts he's got for you are waiting there. This is just the start, all right?
Janie, my beautiful friend, on this special occasion of your baptism, sharing and publicly declaring your commitment and sharing oneness with our precious Savior and Lord, the love that he's laid down for all of us. I bless you with this. Janie, you are a well-loved daughter of God. He delights in you, and the day he gifted you to the world, he knew the potential he has securely knitted together within you. Life's journey and challenges have tried to destroy you, but your Heavenly Father is so faithful. He has kept you safe and secure, and he will continue to be your safe place, your tower of strength, and your deliverer. He loves you and calls you beautiful. You put a smile on his face with your childlike faith. And I also enjoy that when we have kapha together. I bless you with confidence and hope, a positive expectation of good and only good. I bless you with peace. I bless you with the goodness of the Lord that increases your capacity to receive more of what Father has for you. You are enough, Janie. God truly delights in you. Romans 8, 1 to 2 says, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives you life has set you free from the law of sin and death. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, Janie, and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you today and give you peace. Amen, amen, amen. Bless you, Janie. Hugs and love in Christ our King. From me to you.
Jane, I've seen you come into the church and it's been just such a delight to see you, your love for God grow. And I just sense that God has brought you out of muddle and out of confusion. He's come to reorder and teach you his ways. Nothing is too hard for him. So as you lean into him and believe and trust in him and commit your ways to him, he will lead and guide you in the way you should go. There has been many ups and downs, but he says, I see you. In it all, I see you. I see you, Jane. And reading from Philippians 4, verse 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, God's peace is your portion. God's peace will transcend all understanding. It will go out far beyond anything that you could even believe could ever be your portion. God will be more than enough. He will do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever ask or think, according to the power of his Spirit that's within you. And he will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Bless you, Jane.
Okay, Jane. How are you? Yeah. Look, this is just not for you. This is for all the recipients of baptism today. Lord, thank you for the precious gift of baptism that we are publicly declaring our love and passion for you. Lord, we ask for your goodness and the blessings be poured into this faithful servant. We pray that you would work deeply within their heart and soul and renew and refresh them every day.
Jane, when your name first went up on the list about 4 or 5 weeks ago, I got this word rebirth on my mind when I thought of you. You are rebirthing today. Birthing is your work and hopefully love and brings you great joy to all involved in those situations. You are lucky in that you see this great joy regularly. And I think it is a bit like Father God's great joy. He has a great joy in seeing you take this step today. But really, the word rebirth came in the sense that you are going to be involved in rebirth. in seeing, bringing others to their rebirth in that motherly way. You are to be the Mary and not the Martha, to get alongside people, and I think woman, and journey with them and be beside them for their rebirth.
Cool. Thank you, Jane.
Just one thing, Jane. The word, I got one word for you, preparedness. And I was thinking about that as people were talking, and my mind cast back to one of our people in the congregation some time back had a heart attack in the service. You'd remember that church, wouldn't you? Yeah. And Jane here, in terms of preparedness, this guy needed some oxygen. She had an oxygen tank in the back of her car that was charged up, ready to go. And so they brought that in, and the rest is history. And here's the thing. The whole thing about preparedness, Jane, I get a sense with you that you're going to shift from one season into a new season. God has been preparing you. I have no idea what that is, by the way, but you will know when it comes. And God is already getting you ready. And when it does come, you will be prepared. You will be prepared.
Next, we have Abby O'Dell. She's going to join me on stage. You can stand that side. We're actually doing okay for time, so we're going to ad-lib a little bit, because I don't know you. So why don't you tell us a little about who are you? Tell us about who you are.
So I'm Abby, obviously. My family goes to this church. My cousins do, and my auntie and uncle, and my nana. And yeah, I've been to St. Albans Youth Group here for 3 years, and I've just finished now, and I'm in first year of uni.
Okay, awesome. All right, well, I have two questions for you, Abby. Why did you become a follower of Jesus, and when did that happen?
Yeah, so my family's Christian, so that's always been a part of my life, but it really became my choice in year 11 when I started going to youth group and just learning more about God. I'm getting baptized today because I want to follow God for the rest of my life.
Abby, do you confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior?
I do.
Well, then it is our privilege and pleasure to baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but He brought me in. Oh, His love for me. Oh, His love for me. Who the Son sets free. Oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
Abby, we are so proud of you today. I just think there's three generations here today, and it's just wonderful. But when I was praying, I asked the Lord for what He would say to you. And He goes, your worth is in me. Seek me as you plan your days. I will watch over you and give you opportunities to show my love and caring. As you hear my voice, you will sense my presence. I will lead you and guide you into your future. Watch for my nudges. You are one who is aware of my leading. Continue to trust me and know that you're precious to me. Shine your light, Abby, and draw others into my presence.
Hi, my name's Pam O'Dell and I'm Abby's mum. I think by birth and by marriage we're related to half of the church. Thank you, everybody, for welcoming us today. Abby, I'm just so proud of you today. I know that for you, getting up publicly is a big deal, and you've done so well. We are just so impressed every time we see you facing a new situation, starting uni, how you go back to the Bible, you write your journal, you plan your day, and you decide what you think God might want for you and for everybody around you in that moment. And I just hope that you continue doing that as you get older. And we just love you so much, and well done.
Hello, Abby. I want to hold your hand. Yes, I'm just so proud of you today. And I just wanted to say, don't be afraid to step out. Like, people are going to see something different in you, and that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. Like, you're going to be a beacon. And people are going to be drawn to you. And people are already drawn to you. Like, you're younger than me. You're my younger cousin. But I've always felt like you're older than me because you're so mature and your decision making. Like, I really, I love you lots. But I wanted to say, be courageous and step out and don't hesitate. You know, if God's leading you in this direction, just go for it. And in uni, if that's, you know, making friends or anything like that, just don't be afraid to step out and be bold. But he's really proud of you, and we're also proud of you. And I love you very much. Amen. Who's next?
Abby, it's interesting what Zoe just shared, because as I was thinking and praying about you, I just had I suppose it's not really a prophetic word, it's just thinking about you and who you are, and it doesn't take a prophet to see that you are courageous and you are focused. And I remember a moment where we were at Extend Leadership Camp, and Abby was one of the seven young people we took, and I was a bit naughty in our small group, and I said, who out of you seven would have said or put your hand up to go on this leadership camp if I hadn't approached you and asked you to come? And I could see a bit of squirming in the small group, and half the group said, well, I'm not too sure I would have put my name forward. And I just want to say to you, Abby, again, as I said in that moment, that you have real leadership skills, and that courage and focus that you have, as well as your intimacy with God, is taking you places. It's taking you places already and will continue to take you places. And there will be squirmy moments because you are courageous, which isn't the absence of fear, where you're like, oh, I know I'm being drawn in this direction. But it's uncomfortable, whether it's, you know, growing in public speaking or whatever that looks like. But you are courageous, and we really see that, and we acknowledge you. And the last thing, two last things for me is, we're so proud of you. We're so proud of who you are, every part of you. And the last thing I'll leave you with is a verse, one of the first verses I learned, which is 2 Timothy 1:7, where Paul writes to Timothy and says, you have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-control, which you have too, Abby. So bless you.
No one else?
Okay, thank you.
Last but not least, Carol. It's all right, I've been saved by a phone down here. I'm not the big bad wolf after all. Dad saved me, gave him the phone. Come up, Carol. We all good? Come on the dry. Okay, I don't know you either, so can I ask you a third question?
Don't like being in the caf.
It's not the caf, it's working in the caf. I don't.
So we're glad he's not working in the caf today, because we will get coffee.
Are you on the roster?
No, not yet.
Anyway, shall we move on? Right. Okay, Carol, when did you become a follower of Jesus, and when did that happen? Why, I should say, and when did that happen? Well, and take your time.
I was brought up in a Christian family, attended church and Sunday school, wandered off the path as a teenager. As an adult, I attended a few churches. Now, as an older adult, with a little nudge from my, there she is, my neighbour and friend, Carol Evans, she said, you will love the singing and come to church. So I did. And I have attended since then, which was not quite a year ago. I love the worship songs. I come away from church every Sunday with a message that sets me up for the week. I became a member about 6 months ago, whenever that was. In short, I'm back on the path to follow Jesus.
I think you've answered it, but why are you being baptised?
Yeah, I just feel a calling from the Lord and think the time is right.
Now, folks, we're going to do things a little bit different with Carol. Seb's got a bucket. Yes. Don't kick it, for goodness sakes. Can we take your glasses off, sweetheart? Yep, that's it. Once we go through the formalities, Seb's going to pour a bucket over her head, maybe 2, 3, 4, or 5. Carol, do you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour?
I do.
With your confession of faith, it is now our pleasure to baptize you now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
It's an absolute honour for us to be here today, your grandchildren, myself as your daughter-in-law and your sister-in-law, and not just daughter and sister-in-law, but in faith too. The last few years, we've really seen you grown. You've said yourself that this has been the happiest time of your life, as you've surrounded yourself with wonderful family, wonderful friends and new friends, and now a whole congregation to support you. So we'd just like to say that we're so proud, couldn't be any prouder. You're an amazing role model and we love you.
Coming here today has made me really emotional.
and seeing you take this step into your faith with your kindness and your lovingness. Really proud of you. Sorry.
Hi, Nan. I just want to say how proud I am of you. Because growing up with such a strong person, so caring and so loving, God would be so lucky to have you again. Because you embody every principle that he holds. Love you, Nan.
Carol. I pray, this is from Ephesians. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all of the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you will be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. May God bless you for taking the step today, for the humility that it's taken, for the courage, and to see you standing here. Just pray that he will fill you with your Holy Spirit today.
Carol. Carol, it's just lovely to be here to see you baptized today. It's just you just are a mum. You're a nana. And I just see your love for your family. It's amazing. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? I encourage you to surrender yourself to God, to be his sacred living sacrifices and live in holiness, experiences all that delights his heart. For this becomes your genuine expression of worship. Stop imitating the ideas and opinions of the culture around you. But be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in his eyes. And Job 12:11 says, the ear tests the words it hears, just as the mouth distinguishes between foods. Just as the mouth distinguishes good food, so the ear tests the words that it hears. And I think as you're in God's word, you're hearing that perfect word, the perfect word.
Carol, as a friend, I want to say thank you for what you've done. Thank you for looking at God. I'm really pleased that you've made that commitment. And I know that you are worthy of that commitment, and it's been on your heart for a long time. And I found in my scrapbooks what baptism meant to me when somebody gave me this card. It is a beautiful ceremony of what the heart is actually feels and believes in, and I know you do. It's a proclamation of God in saving a grace. It's a dedication of obligation of Christ to Christ and a celebration of life. And I know that this is what you believe in, and I know that you will do justice to us and to everybody. And God bless you.
Hi, Carol. When you don't know, turn to your new best friend. Jesus Christ, our Lord, is the one that will find you. He will be your fixed point in your journey through the rest of your life. He will be the one that will be there for you no matter what. He will uplift you. He will support you. He will love you without any reservation. You are a child of God.
Sorry. Carol, hi. We've had some good conversations leading up to this day, and there's just such a sense this morning of, behold my beloved daughter in whom I'm well pleased. And I believe this is a scripture for you this morning. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. And I really feel there's a sense here this morning that you are going to be instrumental in reconciling others to Christ and what you, the stand that you've taken this morning. So well done. We're really proud of you.
And following on from that word, Carol, what I had for you is, you are an oasis in a dry place. Where you live, in one sense, is a dry place. But people come to you for watering. They come to you for encouragement. And God will bring more along. It's kind of, you've got this evangelism kind of simplicity about who you are. And that's an encouragement to you. You have this ability to just say something into the life of a person and it settles. It just settles. So they come to drink because they see what you have to offer. It's the Christ in you. They're in a dry place, but not you. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. I mean, look at this lot here. Yeah, beautiful. Absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you, Carol.